Hey, man, I would like to thank the Reverend Thomas Martin for the words of welcome, for the opportunity to come and to share the story of God's grace, to tell you my testimony, and it's a wonderful privilege to be able to do that. Thank him very much. He was my minister in Lisburn for many years, as well as Stephen, and it's good to be here at the church to be able to take part, and thank our brother Stephen very much for his ministry in song. I trust that as you're listening, that the Lord will speak to your heart. If you're a Christian, that tonight you will return thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his grace. We have so much to thank and to praise the Lord for. You know, every time I give my testimony, I must admit that I get very nervous, and there's a reason for that. It's because I want to do my best. I want to give the Lord my best, and I want to speak high and well of my Saviour. And I trust tonight that as I relate the story, that it will be used of God to really demonstrate the goodness of God and to set forth the love of a wonderful Saviour, and also to show you tonight the work of God, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit in the life of an individual. It's a privilege. I want to thank the Lord most of all for saving me and for changing my life. 2 Corinthians and the chapter 5, we're going to just read some verses from this passage. And I trust indeed that as we read God's word, that the Lord will speak afresh to each one of our hearts. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so it is vital that we turn to God's word. And I trust indeed that the Lord will speak to each one who is now listening. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. And I trust and pray that if you're not a Christian, you're not saved, that this will be the very night when by faith you come and you trust in the blessed Son of God. And what a wonderful joy that would be. We would rejoice with you coming to know and to trust in the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, reading here from the verse 17, where we read, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray for you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Amen. And we trust and pray that God will bless his word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Just going to bow very briefly in prayer with God's word opened. Heavenly Father, I want to thank thee tonight publicly and personally for thy love and mercy towards a wretch like me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. And Father, I pray that above all, the Lord Jesus Christ will be uplifted, magnified, and glorified in our very midst. Thank thee for all that our ears have heard already. Thank thee, O God, for the praise we're able to sing. And our God, we pray that everything will go down to thy glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. As I said, it is a wonderful privilege to come along and to give my testimony. And maybe you're not familiar with that particular term and you're wondering, well, what exactly is a testimony? Well, I want to make it very clear that I'm not here this evening to go and to rake over all my past sins and in a sense to stand before you and to say, well, you know, I done this, that, and the other. Tonight, I want to really focus upon the Lord and what God has done in the life of this poor sinner. My testimony is really the record, as every testimony is. It's the account of what the Lord has done. It sets forth God's goodness.
His grace, His love, His mercy, His long-suffering, His kindness, His patience. And even when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for us. And you know, when I think about my past, living without the Lord, I would have to say that even though I didn't realize it, God was working in my life. And perhaps that's your story this evening, that even as you listen, the Lord has been speaking to you. I was born and brought up in the city of Lisburn, the youngest of three brothers, brought up in what I would term a very good home. My mum and dad were very good folk. They were the ideal neighbours. And in many respects, people would have thought, well, they were Christians. After all, they didn't smoke, they didn't swear, they didn't drink, they didn't go to the things of the world. But that's not what a Christian is. You see, most people tend to think, well, that's someone who's good living, as long as you're good living. But can I say, you're not born a Christian. You must become a Christian. My mom and dad went to church, they said their prayers, they read their Bible. But of course, they didn't know the Lord. In fact, I was 8 years of age when my mother came home one night. She had been attending gospel meetings, a meeting very similar to this. And that night she came home and she said to my dad and to myself, she said, I've got saved. I'm born again. And I knew that there was something different about my mother. I knew that there was a change. I could see by the joy that she had. And let me say, the peace of God in her heart. And I want to say this. There's no prayers like a mother's prayers. Do you know that as a mother, the greatest thing that you can give your children or your child is your prayers? And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for a faithful mother's prayers. Even despite the fact that I broke her heart, I went my own way, I rebelled, I really, you know, brought her into ill health. I'm so thankful for her prayers. You know, I look back and I think of all those people that the Lord, in a sense, brought across my pathway. And He put in my pathway. He placed in my life to be a witness to me and to speak to me and to share the love of Christ and the message of the gospel. And I'm sure that's the case in your life as well. That even now, God has placed individuals or people. He's brought them across your pathway. Why? Because He's speaking to your heart, showing you your need, that you need to be saved, and you need to come by faith and trust in the Lord. My parents, no different than any others, wanted their children to do well, wanted me to do well, and they thought, well, no doubt, he'll follow in the footsteps of his older brothers, get a good education. I had one brother at that point who was playing professional music, BBC Symphony Orchestra, another brother in the Navy, and they thought, no doubt, well, he'll just follow in their footsteps. We want our children to do well, don't we? And they were no different. However, they watched as all their hopes, dreams, aspirations came crashing and tumbling down. I was raised in a very good home. I was brought up to respect people, etc., but sadly, I rebelled and I went my own way. You see, that's our human nature, that's our heart. And the heart was just really showing forth that sinful nature. And right from a young age, I started to get involved in the things of the world. Now, perhaps as you're tuning in, you're thinking, well, you know, here I am in a suit and a shirt and tie, etc. And you're thinking, well, what do you really know about drink and drugs and the things of the world? What would you really know about those things? Sadly, too much. From a young age, my life was on a downward spiral. I was aged just 11 when I took my first cigarette. I could take you to the very place, to the exact spot in the park in Lisburn, Wallace Park, where I took my first draw of a cigarette. You see, it didn't end there. And oftentimes that's the case. It went from one cigarette to a few to a packet, and of course to the taking alcohol from a very, very young age. And in a sense, I was looking for life, but sadly, I was looking in the wrong place. And I want to speak specifically to those who are young and you're listening. Don't make the mistakes that I did. You know, when I think back to those years, oh, how I grieved my mother and father, but sadly, I was sinning against my God. The Bible says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And sadly and tragically, I had no thought about God. In fact, I thought that I had it all worked out. I thought I had life worked out. Have you ever thought about the great questions of life? You know, have you ever thought about and asked yourself the question? I'm sure you have. Why am I here? What's the purpose to life? Is there life after death? When will the world end? All the great questions of life. Wonder what answers you've come up with. I used to think, well, life's just about enjoyment. Eat, drink, and be merry. Life's about fun. Life's what you make it. Life's one great pleasure trip. And that's exactly the way I began to live my life. My attitude was that very ungodly attitude that I could just live my own life the way I pleased and do what I wanted. My appearance was, as I said, very different from now. In fact, like in all the details, right from a young age, I was involved in the whole skinhead culture, and I had tattoos not only over my arms and the body and over the neck. Now I've got quite a few of them lasered and they've been removed. I had tattoos on the head as well. Most of those have now gone through the laser treatment as well. You know, my appearance was such that I was a sort of person you would want to cross the other side of the street. You wouldn't want to be near that person. That was the appearance. But you know, the appearance and the outward, it was just, in a sense, typical of what was in the inward. And inside, there was such, all I could describe as hatred and all those sorts of sins of the flesh that were really manifesting themselves. My actions were such that I was going down a road and down a pathway that was not good. I was breaking my parents' hearts, my mum, my dear mother in particular. My dad used to say to me, "Son, please listen, please. You're breaking your mother's heart. You don't know what you're doing to her." My life was really about I, me, and my. It was all about self. I used to go out and it could be days. It could be a long time before I would come back. Those days after I left school, but in those early teenage years, my father in particular, he used to say things to me. He used to say, "You know, I wish I'd drowned you at birth. You shouldn't be here. You're a mistake." And my lifestyle was such that my mother had a full and a complete mental breakdown. Now, that's not something to be proud of. I'm overwhelmed with shame. The Word of God says to honor thy father and thy mother. And I didn't. And I deeply, deeply regret that. Young man, young woman, thank the Lord for your parents. Bow tonight and thank them. Thank them for every admonition, for every bit of instruction and love that they give to you, and thank the Lord for them. I left home when I was very young, just 15. It wasn't voluntarily, it wasn't voluntary. I was put out of the house. It was the same day that I was actually expelled from school. And I thought, I have arrived. After all, now I can go and I can enjoy life to the full. I can do what I want. I can be my own boss. No one will tell me what time I've got to be in it, who I can hang around with, what I can or cannot do, or drink or whatever. That's the way I live my life. Sadly, I left home and left that influence at home. Went for a while to live in Belfast and then over to London. And needless to say, it was a very sinful, immoral, and ungodly life. There were times I could put on the appearance that everything was outwardly well, the life and soul of the party. But inwardly, a great and an aching void, a great emptiness. No matter what I would turn to in the world, nothing would fill it. The Lord, in mercy, placed various people in my life to show forth his love and his grace. And one of those people was a lady that we affectionately knew as Aunt Violet. I started going out with a young girl. Linda was just 14 when we went out together. I was 17 at that stage. But her aunt, Violet, her great aunt, was undoubtedly
the most godly person I've ever known. I mean, what is a Christian? I just needed to look at her life and I got the answer. That was the standard. I suppose in many ways she was like Joseph in the Bible. And she just had that exemplary Christian testimony. You know, when you think of my appearance and the way I behave and the way I got on, you would think, wouldn't you, that she would have took me aside and give me a good grilling and a good telling off and trying to... No. I never once heard her raise her voice. Never heard her speak ill of any person at all. She just loved the Lord Jesus. She was, in many senses, the way I would describe it, meeting Aunt Violet was like meeting the Lord. For the Lord was with her. You know, I thank the Lord for the godly people in our churches who set forth the love of Christ, and by their prayers, by their living, they just show forth the trueness of what it means to be a Christian. I got married when I was very young, just skipping through the story here, but Linda and myself got married. We were, in many senses, quite young. I was 19, Linda was younger, and the year after we were married, we had a little baby girl, and whenever Samantha was born, she was premature, she was very ill. We were going down to the hospital night after night to visit her, and this night in particular, we'd been down during the Tuesday, it was the Tuesday of the second week, I remember it very well. I remember coming home and going into my brother's bedroom. He was living at home at that time. We hadn't got our own house, so we were still living with our parents on that occasion. And we came home, Linda and myself, and I was really on a downer, and I was feeling so low. I remember coming back and just going up into the room, and my brother was out, and I started to think about life. And life for me, it was just so dark. I could see no hope. And the thoughts started to race around my mind. You're a nobody. You're a nothing. In fact, you're the cause, you're the root problem of everything that's going wrong in the family. You're the one that brings misery and pain. Why don't you do everyone a big favor and just end it? Get out of their lives. I really believed that. I really believed that there was no purpose to life. I couldn't take the pain anymore. That night I determined, I'm going to end my life. And so I took a massive drugs overdose with alcohol, and I set about the task to end my life. When I mentioned about talking about the long suffering and the goodness of God at the start, I only have to think of so many times throughout my life that God was so merciful to me and so gracious. You see, no one was aware that I was attempting to take my life. But God knew. My mum told me, she said, we found you lying on the floor. You'd obviously passed out. Carried you downstairs, led you out on the couch and went upstairs. And my mum said, you know, I was saying to your father, there he is, getting drunk. Got a little child seriously ill. What is he thinking about? When's he ever going to see sense? When is he ever going to change? And unknown to them, I was literally dying. If you want to look at the most undeserving person of God's grace, then you're looking at him right now. My mum said she woke up early in the morning, 4 o'clock, I think it was. She turned to my dad and she said, I don't know what it is. I don't know, but there's something wrong. Quick, get an ambulance. The family were called for once I was taken to hospital because they didn't expect me to make it. You know, I'm so grateful that in my great hour of need and darkness and time of need, that God just have mercy on me. Maybe tonight you're listening in and it's been tough lately. You find the way so hard. Maybe the thought has even come across your mind, you know, I just wish I wasn't here anymore. It's too painful. Well, my friend, I want to encourage you to tonight. Take your burden to the Lord. Whenever the Apostle Paul was in prison, he met the Philippian jailer. He was about to end his life. And here's the message, and the message hasn't changed. Do thyself no harm. Don't be harming yourself. That's the message of the gospel. Because there's life and liberty in Christ. The Lord was so merciful to me then. So many other occasions. I spent, I think it was about 5 or 6 days in the cardiac unit, life support. But a breath between me and eternity. You know, I'm glad that God answers prayer. Anne Violet, the church were praying. Other Christians were praying. My mother was praying. God answers prayer. I was released in hospital. After the overdose, I had recovered. And a few months later, I became very seriously ill. Friends, life can change in a moment of time, just a moment. You and I do not know what tomorrow will bring forth. We do not know what news that we will receive tomorrow. We just don't know. And I became very seriously ill. But perhaps you're thinking, oh, well, if I was ill, you know what? When I'm ill, then I'll think about God. That's not the way it works. You see, I rather rebelled more. Surely if there was a God in heaven, why would he allow me to go through this? I went into hospital. I had 1, 2, 3 operations. I stopped counting somewhere in the region of 60, 70 operations. It was a lot of surgery. Over a 3-year period, in and out of hospital. And as I said, I became more hardened to the things of God. Along with some others, we had actually started looking at forming a band, a rock band. The name in itself would just give you an idea of where I was at that time, because the name was Sinister. Sinister means evil. The music that we played wasn't rock music, it was black rock music, which is satanic music. I was so far away from God. My life was just such a mess. But you know, I'm glad tonight that God, through his mercy and by his grace, he takes a mess, and he takes that mess, and by that grace, he transforms it and he makes it into a message of his love and his grace. That's what God is able to do. It was in hospital that my life changed. It changed forever. The 26th of August, 1989. I'd gone through, as I said, multiple surgeries. Samantha at that stage was 3 years of age. I'd hardly even seen her little one growing up. I'd spent so much time in hospital. Linda was faithfully by my side, and I'm so thankful for a very faithful wife. But I went into hospital for another, what I thought was going to be a final operation. They said it would last 8 hours. You know, it wouldn't have mattered to me if it had lasted 80 hours or not. A surgery was surgery. I'd had so much of it. I had the operation, was making very good recovery. But on the Friday night of that week that I had the surgery, things changed. They took a turn for the worse. Basically, if I could put it this way, the surgery they performed began to unravel, and I had what's called adhesions, and all my organs were basically twisting, and they were turning and shutting down. And the pain was just excruciating. It was late into Friday night, then into early Saturday morning, the surgeon was called for, a theatre team were put on. Dr. Robert Gillingham, once again, a child of God, a Christian. Dr. Gillingham came in that morning and he said, "You're a very ill young man." And he said, "I'm sorry to have to tell you, but we have to rush you to theatre now." I asked him how ill I was. And he just shook his head. It was critical. You know, as I lay there in that bed, I began to think about life. Here I am, I'm a young man, 23 years of age. And my life is just wrecked and ruined. And the thought was, I'm now going to go and meet God. And I'm not prepared, I'm not ready, I'm not saved. Friends, I really believed I was going to die that morning. As I looked on my life, it wasn't as though one thing stood out more than the other. The only way I could describe it was being like surrounded in darkness. Dr. Gillingham came back, and as he came in to Ward 2 South in the City Hospital, he came over to the bed to take me down to theatre, to bring me personally down, and I was weeping, and I was crying, and I was sobbing so hard. And he said, "Chris, what's wrong? You faced a lot of surgery. You know what surgery's like." I said, "I'm not afraid of the surgery. But I'm absolutely terrified of meeting God." You see, I knew that I was a sinner. The Bible tells us, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, I knew that. I knew that I was far away from God. And listen, friends, I can understand that God could send me to hell, and I deserved that. But he told me the most beautiful, sweet story that ever mortal ears were hear. You see, a testimony, and the telling of a testimony, you know what it really is? It's a love story. It's a setting forth of the love of God for a sinner. He told me how the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, how he came into this world and how he lived a perfect life, how he went to the cross, shed his blood and died. And he died not for any sins he had committed, for he's the sinless one, the perfect one. But he died as a sinner substitute. I said to him, "You know, but God couldn't love me. If you'd have known the depths that I was at in my life, you would understand why I said that. I was so far gone." He said, "Not only does God say that he loves you, but he's proved it. For he gave his son to the old rugged cross at Calvary." The only way that I could really describe that morning to you was like God took my heart and it was just broken into a million pieces. To think that Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, the Holy One, the perfect One, the lovely Lord Jesus, to know that he loved and does love me. I hadn't the strength to get out of bed, to get on my knees. I was in so much pain. But I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that I was headed for everlasting ruin and hell. I knew that Christ was my only hope. And that very morning I called upon the name of the Lord and the Lord saved me. How do I know I was there when it happened? How do I know? The Bible tells me so. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How do I know? You ask my wife, and she'll tell you. She got a new husband. How she needed one. Friends, I can only begin to put, I can hardly put into words what it means to be a Christian, to be saved. To know Jesus Christ as Savior. Let me just put it this way. It means absolutely everything. Everything.
to know that your sins are forgiven, you're at peace with God, now fulfilling the purpose for which God created and made me, to the praise and the glory of His grace, to know Him, to walk with Him, to love Him. What a great God He is.
3 months later, the Lord saved my wife, mother-in-law, father-in-law. I had the joy of seeing my own father saved. He's blessed us with 2 more children. Our second child, we called her Grace because of the grace of God that has triumphed in our hearts and lives and then blessed us with Josiah. You know, when I think of our lives and where God has brought us from, how good is the God we adore. What a great God. The Lord called me to labor for Him, to work for Him in missionary work. I work as a missionary to the addicted, seeking to reach out to those who have stubborn drug habits, and it's a ministry that is, of course, is very challenging, but I want to say this from the very depth of my heart. It is a privilege and a great honor to serve my Savior in the work of God. To think that He took my life a mess, and by His love and grace, He sought in some way to make it a message. Well, it may be a very poor message, but you know, when I think of what the Lord has done for me, I can't give up on people. I just can't. Because I think of the prayers that the people prayed for me and the love, and I think of how they didn't give up on me. And I thank the Lord for all those godly influences and those people who just loved on me and won me to the Lord. It has been a great blessing to see lives transformed by His grace. And oftentimes the Lord really does surprise us, and you know, He takes up which is wasted and ruined, and by His grace He takes it, He makes something beautiful. One of my favorite passages in Scripture is that in Hebrews 11, and the story of Rahab. And the Bible makes it very clear. It was Rahab the harlot. In other words, a lady whose life was right down in the very mire of sin. And here you have the great chapter of faith. You've got Sarah, Moses, and Noah, great men and women of God. And then it's as if the Lord just reaches in after mentioning all these saints, and He says, well, listen, let me just reach a little further into my treasure bag. And He holds up a very precious and a very real and a very rare gem. And He says, here, look at the life of Rahab. Here is my power to save. Here's a woman who was right down in the depths of sin. Here's what I'm able to do with a life. And it's for His glory. You see, all that I am by the grace of God. I'm a debtor. I owe to the Lord absolutely everything. Who I am, and what I am, and all that I will become. It's all because of the Lord. Everything is for His glory. It's the Lord who has made the change. It's a story, the great love story of His grace. It's the love story of His Son. I want to ask you a very personal question. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? Is He your Lord? Do you love Him? What does it mean to be a Christian? To be a Christian means that you love Jesus Christ first. First, in front of everything and everyone. You seek first the kingdom of God. I want to thank the Lord for all He has done for me. Please do pray, continue to pray for those that we work with and minister to. Last year was a very difficult year. And it's been a challenging year for us all, but in our ministry, sadly, quite a number of the folks that we've worked with and we've come to love sadly passed away much too early in life. They're not just addicts. They're my friends. They're very precious to me. I remember walking into a house one evening, into a flat it was, and the young man in that flat had been using drugs, and he had multiple drugs all over, or drug paraphernalia all over the place. I remember saying to my wife, to Linda, just, don't go into his bedroom. Just let me clean it up. And I remember lifting needle after needle after needle after needle after needle, maybe 80 of them. He came into the room, the tears streaming down his face, and he said, "You know, you don't have to touch them. You could contract something," of course referring to the likes of an illness. I said to him, "You know, son, I love you. But I want to tell you, far above human love, Jesus Christ loves you." And he went to the cross, and there he shed his blood. But you wouldn't take this poison and pump it into your veins. But oh, that you would know true freedom that there is in Jesus Christ, and through the power of his blood and the fulfillment, the satisfaction that there is in Christ. Praise the Lord, in time that young man got saved and knows that true freedom that there is in Christ. What a great God we have. Why, think of the love of God towards sinful man. None of us deserve the Lord to love us. Now tell me, where do you stand? The Bible says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." What is that truth? It's the truth about who Jesus Christ is, what Jesus Christ has done, what Jesus Christ can do in your heart and in your life. Now, will you come to the Lord? Will you put your faith and trust in him? You're not a Christian. It's time you were. It's time you become a Christian. You start for heaven and home. Oh, I pray, even as we read tonight in 2 Corinthians in the chapter 5, I pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, made one with God. Come to know the Savior, the power of his precious blood. You're not saved. May you come to know, love, trust the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would like further help, then please do contact the church here. Contact the Reverend Martin. I know he'll be available to speak to you. He'll take time to open the scriptures with you, to point you to Christ. He's a love for your soul, as the church does. But oh, way beyond human love, the love of God in Christ. Jesus Christ died for me. Praise his wonderful name. Come to Christ tonight and trust him and the power of his blood. May God bless the testimony and these stammering words for his eternal glory. Just before we have our closing hymn, we're just going to bow together in a word of prayer. And after I pray, we'll close out the meeting with the hymn 221. It is, of course, a pre-recorded hymn. And we trust that even as we sing the hymn, as we close out the meeting, that you'll close in with the Lord. Seek the Lord. Oh, friend, come to Christ. Trust him and be born again. Life is in Christ. May you know that eternal life. Heavenly Father, we want to thank thee tonight from the very bottom of our hearts for the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, for the Son of God who loved us, gave himself for us. We're humbled tonight, Lord, to consider afresh thy mercy and thy grace. Lord, who are we? What are we? But sinners saved by the grace of God. Father, we pray that you will bless the words spoken, hymns that have been sung, the special pieces in song. We ask that everything will go down to thine honour and to thy glory. And we pray that this very night, the precious, precious souls will seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Hear and answer prayer. And to thee, Lord, we give all the praise and glory for Jesus' sake.